This is Ask the Expert on News Radio 1240 and 107.5 FM WTAX. Brought to you by Memorial Health System. You have questions about your health, and Memorial Health System has the answers. Our phone lines are open at 753-1240. That's 753-1240. Now, Ask the Expert on News Radio 1240 and 107.5 FM, WTAX.
Well, hello and welcome once again to another episode of Ask the Expert. Hey, before we get going, I'd like to give you a little bit of a traffic note, and I know that WTAX News Department's been talking about it, but just to remind you, there is major traffic delays on 55 heading north. If you're trying to get on 55 from 72 connecting, or if you're just trying to get from 55 heading north at the merge, there is a major, major backup, so just give yourself some extra time to get anywhere you're going. And by the way, because of the stoppage, both Dirksen Parkway and other roads are also very busy right now. So just be on the lookout, and if you can find an alternate route to get where you're going to go, I would take it until they get all that stuff cleared away. Well, welcome to Ask the Expert. My name is Ray Lytle. Wonderful to be here once again. And this week on Ask the Expert, we're going to be talking about oncology rehab. Now, if you don't know what that is, have no fear. We're going to discuss what it is. But my special experts are Megan Yarhouse, physical therapist with Memorial Medical Center's Survivorship Training and Rehabilitation Program. We'll find out what that is as well. And we also have Kelly Knoll is with us. She's a breast cancer survivor from Springfield. Welcome to both of you. It's good to have you here.
Thanks. Good to be here. Thanks,
now,
Ray.
Let's start with you, Megan. You are a physical therapist in the Survivorship Training and Rehabilitation Program. Let's talk about what that is.
So the Survivorship Training and Rehabilitation Program, also known as STAR, we also call it that very frequently, is basically physical therapy services and other kinds of offerings that are available for people going through cancer treatment.
So I mentioned that our topic is oncology rehab. Mm-hmm. Oncology, I'm guessing, is what it sounds like. After you go through treatments and you're battling, in your fight against cancers, it's a rehabilitation?
That's right. And it's not just after. It can be before, during, or after, or even during the palliative phase.
So really, during the fight and everything, there's rehabilitation that's going on.
Oh, absolutely.
Wow. Okay. So you don't usually associate rehabilitation with cancer. I'll just say it. You don't associate rehab with cancer patients.
That's right.
Is this a new thing? Is this something that is relatively new, or has it been going on a while? We just haven't heard about it.
Well, it's relatively new. As there are more effective cancer treatments, there's lots more survivors. Mm-hmm. People are surviving cancer.
And thank God. Thank God.
No kidding. So there's lots more people that are surviving with these side effects of cancer treatments. And so now, as that's becoming more and more common, we're seeing more and more reasons for physical therapy, or even learning that it can be helpful preventatively before someone goes through chemotherapy or surgery or radiation.
So you're talking about, like, you get the diagnosis, that you have a cancer, and you're going to start a treatment, a chemotherapy treatment, or whatever treatment it is they're going to do. You're saying that it's that point. It's time to start the rehab. So there are things that you can do to get ready for the chemotherapy?
That's right. Chemotherapy often will make someone very tired, yeah, very sick. And you think about if you have the flu and you lay on the couch for 2 days and you kind of feel kind of draggy and terrible and you're not very strong after that. Well, chemotherapy is that times about 1,000, right, Kelly?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thinking more like 5 months on the couch, but yeah.
Yeah, it's like after the chemotherapy, you just don't want to do anything, right, Kelly? I mean, it's just...
You don't want to, and you can't, your muscles atrophy,
With the exception of going to the restroom, it's just you don't even want to get out of bed.
Oh, no. I sat in the chair for, a couple hours sometimes waiting for my kids to come home from school and get me some ice water,
It's
there's
that
just
bad.
Some days, it's like, some oh, days, I... it's not, it's not all day, every day, but there are all times right. like that you just can't move. So.
Well, chemotherapy basically goes in and we've had oncologists describe it before, but I'll use my description. It's almost like poisoning... It's like poisoning your body. I hate to say that, but it is. It's weakening everything in order to really attack the cancer. So your whole body is really in a weakened state after you get the chemotherapy treatment.
That is exactly what it is. It is poison to everything but the cancer. are, well, it, while it's killing the cancer, it's poisoning everything else.
Yeah.
You know, one of the drugs I was on, Cytoxan, that was developed from mustard gas, you know, that's...
Right.
You know,
and that's it's right now it's how we fight it, and you have to go through it. So, Megan, there's a rehab they do to get ready for that.
Sometimes, yes, we often will do an evaluation where we just kind of check and see where they're at as far as a baseline, and then develop an exercise program based on that person's specific needs and what we know is going to come in down the pipe with chemotherapy or radiation or surgery, and try to get them ready for that.
Do healthier people handle, I know it's a horrible question, but I got to ask you, do healthier people handle chemotherapy better than people who are out of shape?
The short answer is yes. The stronger you are, the less chemotherapy is more likely to pull you down. We talk about a fitness bank account where exercise and healthy habits are deposits that you're making into your own fitness bank account. Chemotherapy, fatigue, those are debits, if you want to use that analogy.
Right.
And so the more deposits you can put into your fitness bank account, the less further down chemotherapy or surgery or radiation can pull you down. And so your function, your ability to do what you want to do every day tends to be a little bit better if we can find ways to make that exercise and make those deposits happen.
I mean, I guess it makes sense. If a treatment for cancer is going to pull you down, the more in shape you are, you'll be pulled down the same, but you still have a reserve where everyone else will lose what they have.
That's right.
And that's sort of
that's the founding premise of physical therapy for cancer treatments. We're not going to cure your cancer, but right. We can make the side effects less intense. We can make you better faster after you have to deal with those side effects. Or we can kind of anticipate what might happen and try to build you up and make you better before all those negative things do happen.
Let me ask you, Megan, how did you decide to get into this field?
I was a bright-eyed, bushy-tailed student with my first physical therapy conference, and I got hit by a lightning bolt in my first lecture that it was based on exercise for chemotherapy-induced fatigue. And I remember sitting there feeling glued to my chair like, oh, of course, cancer patients need rehab too. And it really spoke to me that lots of people need physical therapy.
Right.
Lots of people have orthopedic back problems, shoulder problems. Lots of people have those problems. But a cancer diagnosis has to be one of the worst days of your life. And if there's anything that I as a physical therapist can do to help make that better, then I think that's really important that I can do what I can to make life better as someone who's going through cancer treatments.
It's an amazing thing. I can't believe it took them, and I don't know how recent it is. Like we said, it's relatively new. I can't believe it took them this long to figure it out. And now you are an expert in the field. What is it like to have people who, because like you say, people are very scared. They go in with fear and trepidation and all of these things, and you are the one that has to work with or gets to work with them. What is that like? What are those relationships like?
It's actually one of the most rewarding patient populations that I work with because there's so much drive and there's so much heart to saying, okay, I have this cancer diagnosis, but I'm not going to let it get me down. I'm going to do whatever I can. And so some of those are my most adherent patients, because if I tell them to do exercises to get better, they're going to do them.
Most of the time.
I want to get it from the patient side. Kelly, when we come back, I want to talk about, if you don't mind, I'd like to talk about your personal story.
Okay.
What you went through, how the whole, some of it will get rough. I'll try to not make that the case, but I want to hear your story. And I think it's important that listeners hear it as well. It's Ask the Expert. We're talking about oncology rehab. The personal story of Kelly Knoll. She's a breast cancer survivor and she's on the show when we return on Ask the Expert.
You're listening to Ask the Expert on News Radio 1240 and 107.5 FM, WTAX.
Welcome back to Ask the Expert. We are talking about oncology rehab. That's right. You get a cancer diagnosis, and there are new programs that allow you, or at least give you ways to help not just fight the cancer, but also make yourself feel better during the cancer treatments, and afterwards. That's what we're talking about today. Megan Yarhouse is part of Memorial Medical Center Survivorship Training and Rehabilitation Program. Kelly Knoll is a breast cancer survivor from Springfield who went through what we're talking about today. Kelly, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
I would like to ask you some questions now. Tell me, when did you find out you had breast cancer? Did you was this a regular random check? Did you know something was wrong? How did it happen for you?
You know, I had been having some pain for a while, but I did the responsible thing and got on the internet and read about it and saw that that was sort of kind of a
Google doctor.
Yes. Sort of a normal hormonal thing. Right. And at the time my parents were living with us, they were ill and I was taking care of other people. So I didn't pay too much attention to it.
And you felt pain, same as in your breast?
Yes.
Okay.
And just kind of random shooting pains. Then on October 15th, 2014, my husband's birthday, I found a lump. And it was like it wasn't there, and then all of a sudden it just was.
And that was through routine
checks? It was just, yeah, I think because I'd been feeling the pain, I had been checking some, and I hadn't felt anything. And then there, clear as day it was, and I looked, and there was even a, you know, an indentation that wasn't there before. It was just like that was the day I was meant to find that lump. And so called the doctor, sent me for a mammogram. And usually they you hear these stories about they call you back to do a biopsy and everything, but the radiologist just took one look at it and said, you have cancer. She could just tell by, you know, it was long and straggly. Right. It wasn't just some...
Like, they knew immediately there's this is... Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, they looked at it and said, no, that's not good.
So what's the process then? Is it... walk me through. What happens next?
I had a biopsy then on Halloween that just to find
it's
out...
It's a pretty quick turnaround, okay.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Just to find out how aggressive it was.
Right.
Then there's so many things. I didn't know anything about breast cancer, but, you know, there's triple positive, there's triple negative, estrogen positive, progesterone negative, HER2 positive, you know, and went through all of that to classify it to see, you know, how it's going to be treated. And then went to see the breast surgeon, and he... only wanted to do a single mastectomy unless I was BRCA positive. So then I had to go to a genetic counselor and found out I was, in fact, BRCA positive.
Which meant you could get it in either breast.
I was more susceptible to it. And so I ended up having my double mastectomy December 2nd. So
you're talking, you felt a lump on the 14th, and before Christmas, surgery had already been done.
Yes. Which, you say already been done, that time between October 15th and December 2nd seemed like about 5 years to me.
I'm sure for you, every day was like a year.
You have this thing in you that you know could kill you, and you just, you know, want it out. I said, I was going to go after it with an ice pick if somebody didn't get it.
Well,
but I waited.
And that's, could you sleep at night? I mean.
Yeah, you know, I could. I was very, thankfully, naive when I was first diagnosed because I wasn't educated, and you hear so many statistics like 99% of breast cancers are cured, which are curable, which is true in the very beginnings of stage one.
Right.
But
what was your stage when you found it?
2B.
Oh, wow.
So if it would have been a little bit bigger, it would have been stage 3.
So you, all right, so you, what made you decide to try the whole oncology rehab, idea?
Well, actually, I was. I wish I would have known it was available for the before and during process.
Right.
I had never heard of it. I was actually at my oncologist's office at Simmons and saw a brochure there about it, and it just talked about all of those side effects that I was feeling, and you know, they could find a way to help.
They do the let's go through the treatment. They do the mastectomy.
Yes.
And then, is that it? It's like, no. We chopped it out, we're done.
Yeah. I had a double mastectomy.
Right.
And they take the breasts off, and for my case they put tissue expanders in. And
which
it's just because if you're gonna get implants,
tissue is in the skin.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
I get it.
And so you have to go to the plastic surgeon on a regular basis and have those filled so they let your skin stretch to eventually get implants.
Oh, those can't be pleasant.
No, yeah. They're not fun. And if you get too much filled in them at one time, that's pretty ugly too. And, you know, I was going through the fills same time as chemo, so that was a bad combination.
So after the surgery, you do have to go through chemo.
Well, I did.
Right.
They made the decision because I was, I don't feel all that young, but for cancer patients, I was relatively young, and I had a, didn't even realize this too recently. I saw my paperwork. I had a fairly aggressive tumor, and it was pretty large, and so they hit me with a full load of chemo.
So there was a fear that it would spread into, I mean, right. I don't know how it spreads, but I know that
yes.
breasts are close to lungs and
well,
you
it
know,
usually,
a lot of organs.
Well, it usually spreads in the lymph nodes.
Okay.
So when they do the mastectomy, they take lymph nodes out and look at those. And my lymph nodes, thankfully, were clear. So they had reason to believe it hadn't started spreading yet, but they want to hit you and make sure that if there's anything in your body at all, that it kills it. So I actually went through 5 months of chemo. I had four treatments of what's called AC chemo. They call it the red devil.
And is that once a week or how?
First one was once every 3 weeks.
Okay.
For four times. And then I did another kind of chemo once a week for 12 weeks.
Okay.
So it turned out to be like 5 months of chemo.
Right.
And then I did Herceptin for a year, which isn't really technically chemo. It's a biological agent.
Can I ask you, you said that you were doing it every 3 weeks when you first, is that a really strong dose?
Yes.
And how, you know, we talked earlier about how bad people feel afterwards. Is that the one that really, you know, you can't move, just, I mean.
Yeah, it's, you know, they pump you up with steroids when you go. You get steroids to help with allergic reactions and nausea and things. So the day after chemo, you feel pretty good. And it's got a cycle. You know, everybody's is a little different. You have a day you feel pretty good. Like, I felt good for a couple of days. And then you have a couple of days you don't feel so good. And then you've got your really bad days. And then you slowly climb back up until it's time for your next treatment. So
you're saying that before you did all that, you didn't know anything about oncology rehab. You just knew that
I've got
to go through this.
Until I was sitting there feeling horrible and I saw this brochure that listed every symptom I had, you know, pain, fatigue, neuropathy, and, you know, and there was this rehab program, so.
I want to turn to Megan for a second. You say that you have plans that they do during chemotherapy treatments.
That's right.
What can they do? I mean, if they're so, you know, Kelly's saying that she's so weak, she can't even get up to get a glass of water. What kind of rehab is done during that time?
We often will give a home exercise program at that point and have someone do certain exercises, even sitting in a chair. There's even just, you know, marching your knees up and down or doing certain shoulder squeezes.
Just activity,
anything,
some kind of activity.
Yeah, anything you can do, that's where we start, and then we try to build on that. And so a lot of times when you're in the throes of chemotherapy, you can't do a whole lot. You're not going to go out and walk 2 miles a day when you're feeling that terrible.
Are you there to motivate them, to help them with that? Or
I try to.
So, Kelly, I mean, you said you were really, some days were horrible.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, in order to do that stuff, do you need somebody? Could you have done that on your own if you'd known about it?
There were days, like I said, in that cycle
that
I could have done something if I had known about it. And, you know, a lot of people, I don't know if I was just in a pain pill haze or what after my plastic surgery and the mastectomy. I wasn't aware that I was supposed to be doing exercises that apparently other patients have been given. And so when I healed, you know, my back healed all kind of tight and, you know, so there was extra pain there. And if I had been going through rehab during that, then Megan could have given me those exercises and would have saved me a lot of pain. And
I want to talk about specifically you and Megan. I want to talk about your rehab that you did when you finally found out about it. You go through the surgery, you know, the chemotherapy, then you find out about this idea of oncology rehab, and you're like, oh, I'm going to try that. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk about it, how it made your life better, and more of your story. Megan Yarhouse is a physical therapist with Memorial Medical Center's Survivorship Training and Rehabilitation Program. Kelly Knoll is a survivor of breast cancer, and I thank both of them for being here. They're your experts today, and we'll get back with more of their stories when we return after the news on Ask the Expert.
You're listening to Welcome back to Ask the Expert on News Radio 1240 and 107.5 FM WTAX. Brought to you by Memorial Health System. Our phone lines are open at 753-1240. That's 753-1240. Now, Ask the Expert on News Radio 1240 and 107.5 FM WTAX.
Welcome back to Ask the Expert, discussing oncology rehab today. A new way of thinking, or fairly recent new way of thinking. Megan Yarhouse is an expert at it. She's a physical therapist with Memorial Medical Center Survivorship Training and Rehabilitation Program. Kelly Knoll is a breast cancer survivor who has been telling us her personal story. Pain, found a lump, double mastectomy, and then getting treatments, chemotherapy treatments. Of course, plastic surgeon has his treatments going on. She, near the end of the treatments, looks up a brochure, and on the brochure sees something about this oncology rehab. That's when, Kelly, you meet Megan.
Yes.
And so, Megan, you get this, you have this nice lady on the phone, or whatever, your first meeting, or whatever's going on, and you're hearing her story. When does the plan start formulating as to what we're going to do to help her?
Well, with any physical therapy evaluation, we kind of get a lay of the land first. I ask lots of questions about how are you feeling, what kind of really brings you in, where are you at in your treatment, and those kinds of answers help guide where we're going as far as treatment and exercises and activities after that.
And you, so you... I guess different people have different types of there is no like set treatment.
That's correct.
Right. I mean, I guess there's a general, you know.
There's general things that I look out for based on what kinds of treatments right. you're having and where you're at in the treatment process. But now, each person I look at individually.
Where was Kelly's level of coming in? Kelly, you said you hadn't done any, you were, of course, with the treatments, so you were.
No, I wasn't in great shape going in and was definitely at a pretty low point when I went to see her. I actually was not as low as I thought I was. The first time I went to see her, she made me walk around in a circle a few times, you know, chasing me with this wheel and
so you,
testing
you,
me
you
and stuff.
You immediately put her,
she did.
You put her to work there immediately.
Yes. First day she started torturing me. And from that first day, though, I was just amazed that I could do it. And that was part of the whole process of realizing that I could do more than I thought I could do.
Right. So you're in your head, you're going, okay, I'm going to walk like 15 feet. And you ended up going like, how far do you know how far you went? Or?
It was pretty good. It was over 1,000 feet. And the norm for that test off the top of my head is like 1,600. So, and we were able to kind of show her, hey, you did a lot better than you thought. And this was 5 or 6 minutes of walking. So if you could start with 5 to 10 minutes, you know how you feel after you got done with this test, then you feel pretty good and you're kind of proud of yourself. And
well, a lot of it is mental, you know. As like you go through that and you think of yourself as a sick person,
right.
you know,
yeah.
and you think, oh, I don't feel good. I can't do this.
Like your default yes. position is, oh, I'm less than, I'm weak, I feel bad, you know.
Right.
And
people say, oh, exercise. And I'm like, I can't exercise. And then I go and she makes me exercise. And I'm like, well, I can exercise.
And so Megan, is that the body's way of I don't know, fighting or just healing or?
It's very common. Fatigue is prevalent in so many cancer patients. Not to shout numbers at you, but 70 to 90% of patients who have any kind of cancer treatment have some level of fatigue. And that's tired feeling that doesn't really go away with rest. You take a nap, usually you feel better, you feel refreshed, you feel rested. With the kind of cancer-related fatigue that Kelly's talking about, she could sleep all day and still feel tired and worn out. And that's the kind of challenge that a lot of cancer patients have. And that's where exercise and physical therapy can come in. Because people told Kelly, go exercise. And she's like, are you kidding? I feel terrible.
Well, but after when you exercise, though, you know, like I've been tired before exercise. And when I'm done exercising, I'm like, wow, it actually, I thought it would tire me up, but it actually, mm-hmm. you know, pick me up.
Getting the heart rate going, getting your blood pumping kind of gives you a little bit of that energy. And then you're like, okay, well, I did that for 5 minutes. Maybe I could do another 5 minutes. And that's what I meant when I said we start wherever you can do. Start with whatever you can do. If you can do 5 arm raises in a chair, that's where we start. And then we build on that. And the next day we try to do 7. And next week we try to do 10. Or we, you know, just kind of build on whatever you can do because it's overwhelming to get a cancer diagnosis and then be expected to go exercise. And if you're not a usual exerciser, you don't know where to start.
So, Kelly, when this is going on, you're done with your chemotherapy at this point?
Yes,
you're
done with treatment when I 3.
So every day you're strengthening, every time you work out, or every time you do rehab, you're strengthening, you're starting to strengthen your body again.
Yes.
And where are you in terms of the plastic surgery at this point?
I'm done now. I had my last surgery, last summer, because I was BRCA positive. I had a preventative hysterectomy last summer. I got my reconstruction surgery done that summer. So I was just healing up from all of that when you started the rehab. And that's the other thing, you know, you're already down from chemo, and then I had two surgeries, you know, one in June, one in July last summer, and that kind of knocks you down. So there was a big path up.
Yeah. But. So does it also? And so we know physically it starts affecting you physically. You start getting stronger. And how long? How many sessions before you start feeling you're getting stronger at doing this kind of thing?
Well, you know, it happened pretty quick when I was doing the exercises. The main thing that brought me to her that I just absolutely couldn't live with was, I guess, from the surgeries and just being on the couch so long, I was having really bad back pain to the point like I couldn't even load my dishwasher. I'd start for 5 minutes and I'd have to go sit down. I'd be pushing the cart through.
So you've got no mobility. Right. You can't even do stuff around the house.
Yeah, I'd push my cart through the grocery store and cry because it hurts, and that's what I had to have dealt with. And the exercises just immediately, they didn't take it away, but when I did them, it immediately started feeling better.
So the plan is what, to work on getting her in better shape to sort of help the back so it's not doing so much?
Mm-hmm. So what a lot of people question is, well, what do you do with cancer patients? But it's traditional physical therapy. The exercises that I gave Kelly for her back pain are ones that I give another patient who doesn't have
cancer.
Anyone
who has back pain.
But
right.
it's applying those exercises and kind of, like I said, knowing what to expect and what's coming that is the technique or the niche part of being oncology rehab. But it was exercises, basically posture exercises, and strengthening her muscles that had gotten weak from so long of being kind of protected and pulled forward after surgery.
Right, like how does your core stay strong when you have all that going again? You know what I mean? When you're
going through that
surgery.
It wasn't strong to begin with, and I'd
imagine that's something that has to be, worked back up again and feeling better in regards to that. And the mindset of someone, your mindset at that point, Kelly, are you, hey, I kick cancer's butt, or are you, I'm feeling sorry for myself and I'm in pain?
I wasn't feeling sorry for myself. I say all the time, sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, and just, I say, it's a marathon and not a sprint. And that's a really helpful thing. She's my physical therapist, but, my family and friends have been going through it with me for so long. It was somebody new to talk to that you didn't feel was like, oh, I've heard this a million times, and she was also really helpful with things like the fatigue, because, I was trying to work through a lot of the fatigue, and then you just feel terrible all the time. And she taught me, when you feel the fatigue, sit down, close your eyes for 15 minutes until you feel better, and then start again. And, so that was really helpful, too, beyond just the standard exercises.
I have the caller named Will. Let me bring them up. Megan, I don't know if you'll be able to hear him. I'll try to make it so you can hear. If not, I'll repeat his comment. Will, are you there?
Yes, I am. Ray.
Okay, go right ahead. What is your comment?
What is my comment? Back in about October of 14, I had some problems. I feel like I've gone full circle with orthopedic and exercises because my back was giving me problems. The orthopedic doctor recommended I see an oncologist. He found multiple myeloma, which led to a harsh chemotherapy last summer, leading to days when I couldn't get out of bed for more than about 2 hours at a time, and through the winter not doing much activity, sending me back to the orthopedic center for exercises to get my hips moving last winter and into the spring.
So you've gone through it, and has it helped? I mean, you're a guy that has also gone through it like Kelly. Has it helped you? You feel better with it?
Yes, I do. I do. Yeah, at the end of the wintertime, I was just really stiff and weak and unsteady, walking with a cane. Now that summertime is here, I'm out and moving a lot more. But I needed the therapy and the help to strengthen, to find out which parts of the body were the weakest, whether it was legs or hip or back or what was going on.
Well, I thank you so much. Let me ask Megan about that. Megan, what he's talking about, to find out what is actually going wrong, I guess, is a big part of this, or to find out what needs to be worked on.
It absolutely is. And I'm glad to make the distinction of, you know, he had a meeting with the orthopedic guy,
right,
and then found the cancer and then kind of was able to take care of that. A lot of times with exercise, we have a certain expectation of how back pain is supposed to go.
Right.
And then if you're doing your physical therapy usual and it doesn't fit that pattern, then you start to wonder what else is going on.
Well, you hear these stories of people that okay, I'm hurting here, so because of that, I have to change the way I do stuff, so I'm doing it this. And then they end up hurting another part of their body because mm-hmm. they're doing something the way they're not used to doing it.
Right, and that's where having that knowledge of what's coming down the pipe, or that chemotherapy that he talked about that really wiped him out and made him kind of unsteady. That's another symptom we haven't really talked a lot about, is that peripheral neuropathy, where you have kind of numbness and tingling in your fingers and toes. And it does. It makes you unsteady if you can't feel where your feet are on the ground.
You're kind of wobbly in everything mm-hmm. you do.
And, you know, using a cane is a good way to stay safe with that. But also through physical therapy and balance training, we can practice on different pieces of foam. I think I had Kelly on a couple of different.
She made me balance on things and laughed at me.
I did not laugh with you.
She did.
But balance is really important. I mean, knowing how to balance yourself is really, mm-hmm,
right.
and strengthening.
That's very common. And so it's important to have the physical therapist who knows how to anticipate and expect those kinds of things, and be able to address them in a way that is kind of looking down the line. And especially with something like multiple myeloma, puts you at risk for compression fractures because those bones are being involved with the cancer. And so we have to be extra careful. You need to know about those things in order to safely treat a patient with that kind of cancer diagnosis.
The STAR program, of course, Survivorship Training and Rehabilitation Program. The STAR program is, it sounds like you're doing just wonderful things for people. I want to take one more break. And then we'll come back, and I want to talk about the scope of the program. And then I want to find out, Kelly, we'll get some final thoughts from you on just how it's helped you. And maybe we'll help some people out there that are maybe considering this, or people that are worried about this. We'll do all of it next on Ask the Expert.
You're listening to Expert on News Radio 1240 and 107.5 FM, WTAX.
We are back on Ask the Expert. Megan Yarhouse, Kelly Knoll. Megan is a physical therapist with Memorial Medical Center Survivorship Training and Rehabilitation Program, the STAR program. And Kelly Knoll is a breast cancer survivor from Springfield who went through the program doing rehab post her cancer battle. And Megan says people are doing it before, during, and after the battle. It's just something that is changing people's lives. Kelly, how did it change yours?
Well, it made me able to function again, you know. I could do things around the house without being in constant pain. It helped me to have the confidence to get over it, you know, to start moving more and to start feeling like I was recovering and not just a sick person. It made me feel like someone who had cancer instead of, you know, feeling like a cancer patient, you know.
I love that analogy. Megan, what's the scope of the STAR program?
Well, we're talking a lot about physical therapy here today.
Yeah.
Because I'm a physical therapist. So that's what I'm good about talking about. We also have occupational therapy, which is a lot of fine motor skills and kind of task-oriented, kind of what do you want to do during your day? We also have lymphedema therapy, which is some patients, as they get those lymph nodes removed, sometimes they have problems with lymphedema. And that's a swelling in your arm or your leg based on where those lymph nodes have been removed from. Mm-hmm. We also have available dietitians, nutritionists, and psychosocial, like grief counselors, or not grief, but counselors to be able to talk to.
Well, and like Kelly said, there's a whole mindset with having cancer and battling cancer and beating cancer. And I'd imagine that would be important as well, to have someone, if you can't figure it out for yourself, there has to be a way to help you get through that.
And that's what I like about this survivorship program, is the fact that it is well-rounded. And if she would come to me and say, you know, things just don't taste right after chemotherapy, I'm having problems with this, well, I don't know how to fix that, but I can get her to the right person who does. Right. And we can support and have a good network within the Memorial family of people who can help, not just the physical, but also nutrition. A lot of times patients have a lot of difficulty with eating or swallowing or chewing, and that's that's a problem, you know.
Kelly, when do you get past the woe is me? I'm so unfortunate. Oh, why is this happening to God? Why do you do this to me? At what point do you get past that? I mean, was the rehab that helped you get past that, or you know?
I never felt that too much. I just, you know, it was just another thing to deal with.
Cancer was in your family,
yeah.
So you're so,
yeah. Like I said, my family was just kind of a cancer cluster. So, but you know, I remember reading in the beginning that a lot of women suffered from depression after treatment, and that didn't make any sense to me. I was like, why would you be depressed after treatment?
You'd be happy, like, yes. Hey, I'm no longer, I'm cancer free.
But you know, it turns out when you go through surgery and chemo, and you're sick, and your people fuss over you, and you've got doctors paying attention to you, it's very easy to become very self-absorbed, self-aware. Everything is about you, and then your treatment's over, and everybody's like, "Oh, yay! Treatment's over."
Yay,
and
see you later.
You know, and so it does take a while to, you know.
I've never heard anyone. You know what? I've never heard anyone admit that before.
Yeah, but
that's true. Yeah,
but like I said, that's what is good about the rehab I had. Megan to talk to.
And then you get to that point where you're like, you know what? I don't need those other people to be, I'm all I need.
Right.
There's that level that you get to.
Well,
I see
me,
that with you too. That, you know.
I from the very beginning, I wanted to make it more than, you know, just me going through that. So we've started a cancer ministry at our church and started our congregation, shout out Lakeside Christian Church, collected a bunch of supplies that we're going to give to chemo patients when they start chemo for that journey, and so you find out you got to do something to take care of somebody else and get that off of yourself onto somebody else.
When you're going through the STAR program and you're working out, is Megan, is she like a friend, or is it like this person that's yelling at you that you have to work out harder?
Oh, no, she never yelled at me. She's very sweet. It was more like a friend. I mean, I miss her, you know? I was like, I don't know that I really want to keep.
All right, Megan, let's wrap it up. Tell me, how do people get hold of the program again? How do they get involved?
You can ask your doctor for a referral or call 862-0400. That's our rehab department at Cokie Mill Outpatient Rehab.
There you go. That's Ask the Expert this week. Thanks, you guys. You were fantastic. See you next
week,
everyone.
This has been Ask the Expert on News Radio 1240 and 107.5 FM WTAX. Brought to you by Memorial Health System. For more information about Memorial Health System, visit choosememorial.org. And join us every Tuesday at 3 for Ask the Expert on News Radio 1240 and 107.5 FM WTAX.
Hi, this